David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back. I guess we should say welcome back to us. Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back, who's watching this. Whatever, we all back. That's the thing. Welcome to the Sideline Speaks with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. What's going on, K-Walk and Jay?
All is well, all is well. Like you said, great to be back. I'm looking forward to a great one.
Yeah, it's good to be back. A lot of good stuff to talk about tonight, so it should be a fun show.
Yes, we've been missing in action, but we are officially back. We took our little vacations, I guess you could say. But we are back. Everybody deserves a break. But we're back. We're ready to talk some sports. We know we are in the midst of the NBA playoffs. I know we had the draft while we were out. So a lot of good things that was going on then. Some exciting stuff going on now. So you guys ready to talk some sports?
Let's do it.
Let's get into it, and I'm going to apologize ahead of time if I sound very nasally and stuffy. These allergies are kicking my butt. I wish it would stay hot, get hot, and stay hot versus the 80s, then we go back to the 40s, and it's like, okay, just keep it somewhere. But let's get started, y'all. I want to talk about the NBA playoffs. We are in the second round of the playoffs, and there are a couple games or a couple series that I would just like to get right into. The first one is the Pacers-Knicks. As we all seen, I think it was not last night, two nights ago. Was it last night? No, two nights ago. The Pacers blew out the Knicks. My goodness. To tie the series 2-2. I just want to get your thoughts on, I guess, the series as so far, how the series going, and who do you think is going to win this series? Jay, I'm going to come to you first.
Yeah, Britt, I guess this is what I'll say about the Knicks. Like, to me, they've been maybe the most entertaining team throughout this entire playoff. Every series they've been in, the games have been exciting. The Garden has come back alive. So I've enjoyed watching the Knicks play. But what I'll say, like, as much as NBA basketball is about talent and skill and teamwork and all that, when you get to this point in the season, it's really a battle of attrition. And the Knicks are just beat up right now. I mean, they got guys out. They got guys that are playing that are hobbled. And to me, when you look at the Pacers and the depth that they have on their bench right now, I feel like that gives them a slight advantage. Like, if both teams were fully healthy, I might lean towards New York. But I think right now, because they're so banged up, you got to feel pretty good if you're a Pacers fan about them being able to win a couple games and close this series out. But I do need to say this because, you know, we talked about it months back at prior times, and I said I wasn't really a believer in Jalen Brunson, and I wasn't quite as high on him as you guys were. Well, he's proved me wrong. I mean, this guy has been absolutely phenomenal throughout the playoffs. So, Jalen Brunson, I was wrong about you, man. So he deserves my apologies in front of everyone. So I was wrong about Brunson. He's been great, but I like the Pacers to win the series.
Well, Jay, you just answered my next question for you. I was going to ask, do you think Jalen Brunson is enough to carry the Knicks without the other two guys? And it sounds like your answer is?
Man, that's a good question, because I do think he's enough in a sense. Like, he's certainly good enough to be that number one. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. Like, it's hard, like, when you're the only guy that can really get it done, the only guy that can get a bucket when you need one. So he's good enough, but I guess the answer to that question for me is no, they won't get past Indiana.
Yeah, I think because I love OG. That's my guy. That's who I wanted prior to him getting traded to the Knicks. I think that might be tough because he does a lot defensively for that team as well. And he provides some scoring also. Like, you don't have to game plan for him. He just, wherever he fits in, he creates his own shot and so forth, his own offense when needed. But K-Walk, your thoughts on this series, and who do you have winning the series?
Yeah, I'm right along with Jay there. You know, when you look at these two teams, I mean, you look at the Pacers easily could have swept this series if they would have held court, serve on their home court, because the first two games, I thought they got robbed in that first game. Some of the calls mm-hmm. by the refs down the stretch were questionable. That went into the Knicks' favor, and I get it. It's the playoffs. It's the Mecca. The stars are out. It's game one. I get it. It's not going to fall Pacers' way if it comes down to a game of such. The second game, I thought the Pacers could have won that game. They were up huge in that game. I think they were up like 19 or 20 at one point, but the Knicks came storming back and in the fashion that they've been doing, throughout this playoff run. And then, of course, the Pacers hold serve at home for sure. And when you look at it, series really hasn't started, because they say that the playoff series doesn't start until the road team wins a game. So right now, the Knicks are in good position if they continue to win at home. You know, they win in seven. But as Jay alluded to, it's going to be hard for them to do that because the Knicks are depleted. And Tibbs is down to, what, seven, eight-man rotation, if that, mm-hmm. you know, coming off of the bench. You know, they, you know, Josh Hart is supposed to be their energy guy. He wasn't that guy in game four. Jalen Brunson, we know he's playing with that foot injury. He's going to downplay it as much as he possibly can. He's not going to use it as an excuse. Great players don't do that. They don't use it as an excuse. They say, if I can be out there, then I'm not hurt. I'm not injured, but I can still get it done. But like Jay alluded to, or Jay stated, that I just think that the depth of this Pacers team and the way that they play, you know, on both ends of the court, they're very fast on both ends of court. Very pace. I mean, it's great. It's a great name for this particular team, the Pacers, man, because they control the pace on both ends of the court. The ball doesn't stick in their hands. You know, whether on the offensive side of the ball, off the end of the court, and then when they're on defense, they have length there. They have guys that are able to switch and get it done. I got the Pacers winning in a close one tonight. I think the fatigue factor is going to play a part tonight for the Knicks, and I know that they're going to be in the beginning. They're going to be live. They're going to be energized, but I think ultimately the Pacers are going to wear them down. So Pacers just have to weather that storm, because they're in the beginning of the game. The Knicks fans are going to be there. The stars are out. We all know this.
Right.
They have to win this game. It's a must-win game for both. You know, we all say that the game five is the crucial game in all series. Yeah. So I'm going to say that the Pacers get it done tonight, and I think they close it out. I just think they're just too banged up, and I just think there's going to be too much wear and tear on Jalen Brunson to do what he has to do to score 40 or not a night, and to carry this team the way he's been carrying it up to this point, well, up to game three, I should say. I think it's going to be too much for him, and I just think the Pacers are going to get it done tonight and ultimately win the series.
Yeah, you guys are right. When I found out how many minutes the Knicks players were playing, their starters were basically playing the entire game.
Yeah.
Right, I'm just like, you know, that sounds good and all, but over a long series, and you got basically three of them before you get to the championships, the finals, that's a lot of minutes. That's a lot of minutes, and that's going to eventually take a toll on your body, and we're kind of seeing that now. So, but we'll see what happens. I think for the Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton has to be a little bit more consistent. And I love TJ McConnell. I loved him when he was with the Sixers. I just love his effort plays.
Yes.
He plays smart on both sides of the basketball. And I think they definitely need him. And I think they learned. I think it was after game two. I think when they took him out too early. Yeah. And once they took him out, the Knicks came roaring back. So mm-hmm. we need TJ McConnell to really be in that game. And I got something to say about all these stars all of a sudden coming out for the Knicks. Where the heck was y'all the last 20, 30 years? It was non-existent. Now all of a sudden we all nicked out. We're Knickerbockers. We're this. Y'all are frauds.
You know how I go. You know how I go, bro.
I know. I'm just
fair
like,
weather fans. The fair weather fans.
Right. Bro. I'm like, y'all was nowhere near to be found. As a matter of fact, I seen Fat Joe at Heat games and Lakers games and Cavs games. Yep. Now all of a sudden you a Knicks fan.
He was courtside the other night. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. I'm like, get out of here. The only celebrity Knicks fan that gets credit is Spike Lee.
Spike Lee, yes.
Been with them through thick and thin. He's the only one. Only all y'all other suckers, and I said it, suckers, go sit down somewhere. Trying to be a
back to
a
the 80s
Knicks
or
fan out of nowhere. Yeah, I ain't no real Knicks fan. But no, kudos to the Knicks because they've been playing very well. But I just had to say that because I'm like, these fake fans, get out of here. All right, guys, let's go to the next series. And that's the Wolves-Nuggets game. Jokic and Jamal Murray versus Cat and Ant-Man, a.k.a. I'm just playing. MJ. I'm just going to with y'all. But no, this series is now tied after the Nuggets came roaring back after being down 2-0. What are your thoughts on this series, and who do you have winning this particular series? K-Walk, I'm going to come to you first.
Well, I'm a Wolves fan now, you know, right now, as far as the playoffs go. You know, when your team loses or gets eliminated from the playoffs, as my Heat did, you have to go to a team. You have to pick a team. And I immediately went to the Wolves because of Ant-Man. And Cat has to step up, man. They're not going to go anywhere right now if Cat doesn't step up. He needs at least, you know, 20-10 to get these guys going. Ant-Man can only do so much, man. He can only do so much. They have to go back to what they were in the first two games, and that's defense. They were the number one defensive team coming into the playoffs. They showed it those first two games, you know, beating the defending champions on their home court twice back-to-back. I think they were feeling themselves a little bit, and I thought they felt like, you know, we beat the defending champs on their court, you know, twice in a row. Now we're going back home. This should be a cakewalk. Defending champ says not so fast, my friends, in my Lee Corso voice. So I think when you look at it, you have to, you know, you never count out the heart of a champion. And that's what, you know, that's what Jokic and Jamal Murray, wow, what a series, or the last two games he's had. He was at one point, a lot of people thought he was going to be suspended. I think it was after game two, you know, with that, you know, I think what did he do? He threw the towel, and then he ultimately threw the, I think it was a heating pad or something to that effect. But they're at home tonight. They're riding the high. We know about the momentum. Some people believe in momentum. Some people don't. But right now, the Denver Nuggets are in the driver's seat. I think the Denver Nuggets get it done here. I think they win tonight. I think the Wolves win. They go back home, and I think the Wolves win. It goes to game seven. That's a toss-up right now. So since I'm a Wolves fan right now, I'm going to give it to the Wolves in seven. I'm saying the Wolves in seven, but I got the Nuggets tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you, K-Walk. I'm a Wolves person too. Can I now say, is Ant-Man, does he have the ability to be the face of the NBA, Jay?
There's no question.
Yeah, 22 years old.
He might already be the face the way he's playing.
You questioned me that last time with that, Jay, when I said I had Ant-Man being the face of the NBA.
I didn't know how good he was. I hadn't watched him enough, but man, he's been phenomenal.
Yes, people. I call people out. Yes, I do. I'm just playing. But no. But yeah, that this series has been crazy in itself. It's just a back and forth. Those two games had the Nuggets looking. Nuggets fans were scared. They were absolutely scared. But I figured the Nuggets will eventually get themselves together and tie it up, to be honest with you. They're experienced enough. My question is, Rudy Gobert, he got Defensive Player of the Year for what? For what?
In the playoffs.
He's cooked.
To me, he wasn't my defensive player of the year regardless. He only could guard one position. How are you defensive player of the year? You're only guarding fives. That's all you're doing. You're not guarding anybody else. But he got to get it together. If he doesn't get it together, the Wolves are in trouble because I don't care if Ant-Man scores 50. I don't think they have enough to overcome the Nuggets with Jokic and Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon dropped 27 points. Where the heck did that come from?
Yeah.
I knew he could score, but not like that. But Jay, what's your thoughts on the series and who you have winning the series?
Look, on the series, I just feel like we're witnessing the emergence of the next superstar of the NBA. Like, I know people have been comparing him to Mike and to Kobe. And it's a little early for that. He's 22 years old, but you can see that this Ant-Man is a legitimate superstar. He's going to be a superstar in the league for a really long time. And just the athleticism. Like, I haven't watched the Timberwolves a whole lot this year. So just some of the stuff that he does from an athletic standpoint is just ridiculous. So I'm enjoying watching Ant-Man emerge in these playoffs and really just kind of take over the league. But I think what K-Walk said is true. I thought that the T-Wolves get out of here, K-Walk. I think the T-Wolves came out in game three just thinking that it was going to be easy. Like, I really thought because they were at home, they were just going to win the game. And it just doesn't work like that. I think Denver's still the better team just because in the fourth quarter when you need it the most – their execution is flawless. Like, they know exactly where they want to go with the ball. They know exactly what actions they want to run. Like, their execution is just absolutely flawless down the stretch. And I really think that's going to be the difference in the series. So I wouldn't be shocked if Minnesota gets another game, but I think Denver wins the series. And it wouldn't even surprise me if Denver wins the next two and just ends this thing.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. I noticed Denver shored up after those first two games, those setting the screens. They kept leaving these little gaps open in the screens that allowed the Wolves defender to squeeze right through, which made it harder for the Nuggets to get their shots off or just to make a play off of that screen. But they definitely shored it up in the next two series, and I think that was some of the biggest changes as well.
The other thing, I thought the refs – had a little bit of a tighter whistle in games three and four, whereas in games one and two, they really let Minnesota defend aggressively and be more physical. And for whatever reason, the whistle was a lot quicker in the last couple of games. So if the whistle's going to be like it's been the last two games, I really think that puts Minnesota at a disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they stop blowing that whistle so quick. It is a physical game. Don't get me wrong, it's not football. Not as physical as football, but basketball is meant to be physical. So let's get back to the physicality of the game, okay?
Talking about football or basketball?
You know what I'm talking about, K-Walk. I'm not as physical as it used to be. I guess neither one is as physical as it used to be. That's what I'm saying. football, for rightly so, though. You don't want nobody constantly getting hurt.
I got you.
But basketball is a little too soft. All right, guys, we're going to switch gears. We're going to go from the NBA playoffs to the WNBA because the season opener of the WNBA is tonight.
Yes.
It is tonight. I believe the first game is on ESPN. I believe they're airing that live at 7:30. And, yes, that is with rookie Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston in the Indiana Pacers going up against the Connecticut Suns at 7:30 ESPN. Boy, this is exciting. This is different for sure. I don't think I've ever been this excited in many years about a WNBA opener. Probably because I didn't know when the first game was anyway. They're finally announcing it like it's President's Day. Thank goodness, finally. But just give me your thoughts on what do you expect from Caitlin Clark and Aaliyah Boston, to be honest with you. But Jay, I'm gonna start with you first.
Yeah, I'm excited, Britt. I'm like you, man. I've been waiting for this for like the last week. I can't wait to watch it tonight. Look, I expect Caitlin was a little bit better in the preseason than I expected her to be. Like, I thought she would be good, and I thought, you know, she might get 15 points somewhere in that range. But to me, she's kind of playing the way that she plays. And that was the thing that I was kind of looking for. Like, was she going to have to adjust her game, or was she going to be allowed to be Caitlin Clark, so to speak? And up to this point, I feel like the coaches have given her the freedom to play her game. So I think she's going to be really good. Obviously, there's going to be some growing pains. It is the WNBA. You're going to be going up against a lot of fantastic basketball players. So there's going to be some growing pains and some bumps and bruises. But I think ultimately she's going to be really good, and she's going to have a really good year. And like you mentioned, Aaliyah Boston in the middle. You know, we've talked about this before, but Caitlin Clark is an underrated passer. She's a really good passer, and I think that kind of 1-2 combination with Boston is going to make the Fever a really fun team to watch. Like, I don't know how good they're going to be. They didn't make the playoffs last year. I think they have a shot to make it this year, but there's no question that they're going to be one of the most fun teams to watch this year.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. I wanted to watch Caitlin Clark and her development, because right after college, they basically go to the draft because the NBA basketball starts very soon. Yeah, and they go right into training and getting ready for their training camps, and then they go into the training camp. I like the fact it looks like she's been working on her right hand and just being able to do things better coming off of the right side, going right. You know, if I go right, I drive right. Let me work on my passing ability. If I go right, I drive right. Let me work on my floaters and going into my jump shot. I think that's going to be her biggest thing. And we said this before, because in the WNBA, they're going to focus on that. And I'm pretty sure whoever her trainer is made sure prior to the season that she starts to develop and get better going to her right. And I've seen that in a preseason. I've seen her go right and be able to make better decisions going to her right, which I like to see that. Her shooting ability, I had no doubts about that. The girl can shoot lights out. Her going to her left, I had no problems with that at all. But I think she'll be my rookie of the year. I have no doubts about it. She looks like she'll be the prime ball handler for the Indiana Pacers. She'll be the one feet in the team and working Fever. With Aaliyah Boston. Huh?
Fever. You said Pacers.
Oh, my bad. I'm a good. You know what I mean.
Indiana. I just wanted to listen to them.
Thank you for that correction. Yes, Indiana Fever. I'm excited. I'm excited to see how this works. I don't know how far they'll get. Especially when you go up against, you know, the Liberty and the Aces and a few other teams. But I'm just excited to see their beginning. So, I'm excited about it. But K-Walk, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm right along with you there, Britt and Jay. I'm looking forward to seeing what Caitlin Clark is about. I agree with Jay. He stole my answer. I thought I'm looking for her to be a facilitator before anything, before a score. I just think we're going to see her, averaging close to a triple double. I'm not saying a triple double, but I can see her averaging. Well, I don't want to say a triple double, but a double double. Now that's points and assists. Because I think her and Aaliyah Boston are going to be a great 1-2 punch. You know, that inside outside combination is going to be something very, very exciting to watch. And I watched them a little bit in the, in the preseason. I watched them, and there's some practice footage out there floating around as well. And they just seem that they have an instant chemistry. And that is huge right there. You know, nothing that's forced. It doesn't seem forced. It just seems so natural. Like, they've been just waiting for it. And as a team as well, they've all come together really quickly. I know we're going to get into the charter flights and everything like that. But, just the chemistry that they had, on the flight as well. And give them getting in comfort in their comfort zone. So I'm expecting, big things from Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, and that Indiana Fever team as well. But as far as the WNBA in whole, got to talk about the Breonna Stewart and, Sabrina Ionescu with the New York Liberty. I know they got blown out one game, but I was looking at it. This is preseason. Some of these players are just looking to see where they fit on the roster if anywhere. It's going to be an exciting night. I'm going to be looking like a tennis player, man. When I look at them at TVs, and NBA, WNBA, Yankees, all that good stuff. I'm just going to be all over the place. So very exciting time of the year right now, especially with the WNBA being so much focused right now. Like you mentioned, Britt, we know where to find them now, and we know how to, where they're going to be, the schedule's out and things of that nature. So I'm definitely excited about that.
Yeah, absolutely. sorry if I was drinking a lot, you know, trying to keep my fluids in. And unlike Caitlin Clark, I turned the label away so you can't see it. We ain't got no sponsorship. They ain't paying me yet. They ain't paying me, so I'm not showing it. No. Yeah, I'm absolutely excited. But speaking of the cakewalk, you brought it up. Chartered flights, as we all know, as we have all seen, the excitement from the WNBA players during their first charter flights outside, I think the Aces, I think was the only team that had it, and they weren't supposed to. I think it was the Aces. But the WNBA has approved charter flights for all teams now. I think it was like a $24 million deal for the next 2 years. $25 million for the next 2 years. What are your thoughts on, you know, them finally approving the charter flights? Jay, I'm gonna come to you.
I love it, but I hate the execution of it. And I don't know how much you guys have been paying attention to it, but the way that they're rolling this thing out, like, everybody's not getting chartered flights right away. So, like, right. I love the idea of chartered flights. I think it's long overdue. Obviously, these players shouldn't be going through the airport like with everybody else. It's just ridiculous. It's a security issue. It's health and safety issue. Like, there's all kind of reasons why they need chartered flights. But the way the WNBA is rolling this out, like, for these opening weekend, the only two teams that had charter flights were Indiana and Minnesota. Everybody else was still just regular flight, or if it was a shorter trip, like, I think the Liberty players posted that they had a chartered bus because they were driving like 4 hours to their game or something like that. So I think, like, if you're going to do it, you got to be ready to do it for everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not ready, just don't do it at all. So that's my only gripe with it. But obviously, I love the idea of it. And hopefully they can kind of get that thing rolling to where everybody is on a chartered flight and they're not just picking and choosing a couple of teams each week.
Look, I say baby steps. I'm just happy it got approved right now. I'm just happy it got approved because, you know, they didn't have it at all. And if a team did have it, they was getting fined, which makes no sense. The owner pays for that team to have charter flights. It's up to the owner. It's not coming out of your pockets.
Right. But, and that's why, Britt, I don't understand it, because like even the Liberty's owner said, I'll pay for the chartered flight. I don't mind. But the league was like, well, no, that creates a competitive advantage if your players are on a chartered flight, but no one else is. But now they're doing the same exact thing by putting certain teams on chartered flights. So that's just the part I don't get. But overall, yes, it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's just the league sounds like, never mind, I won't say it. K, what your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't aware of that until Jay just brought it up. But I think they'll get it done and fairly quickly too, you know, for sure. But the overall plan of it and the execution of it, just once it's all set into place, I think it's great. I mean, I think it's just like you stated, Britt kind of alluded to it, baby steps. You know, this is the WNBA where, you know, there were only a certain amount of teams. And then we're talking about, you know, we can't even find these ladies, you know, where to find or watch these, you know, these teams or these players. And now we're talking about charter planes for each team. So it's great. I mean, it's WNBA. And I think Jay kind of brought it up on our last show, the show before that, when the NBA first started getting and, you know, becoming a product. I think the first 20 years, they were kind of in the same boat financially, you know. Yep. So
right
now, that's where we're at. They're pretty much in the same, you know, in the same realm. So in another 20 years, we could see this thing take off and it'll even huge. And we're going to see our first $1 million, if not multiple $1 million players, you know, a year, you know, without question. So I love it as far as the charter flights go, and just everything what the WNBA is doing and how they're handling it, and they're doing an excellent job up this point.
Absolutely. Real quick, guys, before we continue on, we got a comment from Man Down Sports. I know Mel from Man Down Sports. Check him out if you can. The show was fantastic. Thank you for commenting. He said, I'm excited to watch WNBA this season. So am I. Make sure, again, if you cannot watch him on TV, It is $39, $39.99, $40 for the WNBA League Pass for the entire year. So you could watch every single game from every team, right, just stream it right online. If you have it set up on your TV, that's perfect as well. Let's help them as much as possible because they're well deserving of it. And it's fantastic basketball as well. If you want to watch quality basketball, you got to watch the WNBA play.
Hey, Britt, and just that price alone just went up $15 because I had it last year.
Oh,
last
really?
Season, it was $24.99. Yeah,
oh, so was it really?
$15. Yeah, it was $24.99. So.
But that's all right. Hopefully it catches up to NBA League Pass.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
It feels like a deal. It still feels like a deal.
It's a deal, though. Yeah. I'm just saying that. I mean, I'm just glad it's growing.
Yeah, it's going up.
It's going up. That means that it's supply and demand. So that's what it's about. Right
now. Mandel Sports said $39 ain't bad at all. It is not. It is not bad at all. So, but get it while it's hot. It's hot now. Get it while it's hot before it gets too high. But speaking of the WNBA, the excitement for the WNBA, the charter flights, things are getting better, things are improving, things are expanding. The WNBA recently announced, I think it was yesterday, I believe, or earlier today, that a new team in San Francisco, I see your face, K-Wall, called the Golden State,
Valkyries.
They're called the Golden State Valkyries. I don't like the name. I'm gonna let you guys give your thoughts on them expanding to San Francisco. But also, Toronto was also awarded an expansion team, but they're not set to begin play until 2026. So Golden State is a little bit earlier. Toronto is in a couple years. Let me know your thoughts on Golden State Valkyries and just them expanding out to other cities and countries, because Toronto's in a different country. K, welcome. It comes to you first.
Yeah, I mean, the location, I guess it's a good location. I mean, you got Golden State Warriors there, so they got an arena to play in without question. The name, I don't get the name. I don't know. I have to look that up to see exactly what a Valkyrie is. I didn't get a chance to do that. So if you guys can let me look that up and let me know what that is. Either way, I don't know. But I was hoping that your hometown, Britt, Philadelphia, would get I mean, I thought Philadelphia Freedom would be an excellent addition to the WNBA, to be perfectly honest with you. But Golden State, Toronto, I know we talk about expansions. Toronto, excellent. So now we're international now. So excellent. I got the Raptors there, of course. But yeah, Golden State, I love the location. Not a fan of the name, but it's the WNBA expanding. So I'm a fan of the expansion of the WNBA, regardless of what the nicknames may or may not be.
Yeah, as I told you guys, Valkyrie, it's that Tom Cruise movie with Germany about Germany and Hitler. So it threw me off that they chose that name because that's what I related to if you're a movie person like I am. Yeah, I think there was a lot of different names they could have went with, but Seriously. It is what it is. I have to see. I'm with UK Walk. I have to see what the actual definition of what a Valkyrie is.
I got it for you right here, Britt.
Please let
us know. It says it's the chooser of the slain, is one of a host of female figures who guide souls of the dead to the god of Odin. So it's based on some weird stuff.
Okay,
is right.
Chooser of the slain. So
okay.
Female figures guiding souls to be slain, I guess. I don't know. So they can have that.
That's too deep for me. Yeah,
sound like a spiritual warrior or something.
Seriously.
Yeah. Weird stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so
all we can say is all right.
It's a lot of things that San Francisco represented, and that's what they went with. But all righty then. But Jay, what's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I hate the name, but I love the expansion. Obviously, I mean, I think there were 36 players drafted, and only 12 of them actually made WNBA rosters. So that tells you right there, expansion is long overdue. So I love the fact that we got teams in the mix and that are coming. But I think there's some cities you know, here in the U.S. that could be really good for WNBA teams. I agree, K-Walk. I think Philly would be a great spot to have a WNBA team. So hopefully they won't just stop at those two, and they'll kind of keep it rolling, because there's so many excellent players that are getting left out just because there's not enough spots.
Right.
Yeah, it was a few big-time draft picks that got cut recently, and it was announced. But, yeah, I agree. Philly should have been had a team right years ago, but for whatever reason, it just didn't happen. Hopefully they'll wait for me. So let me be the owner or part owner of that team. I wouldn't mind at all. Then I'm no longer a Liberty fan. Sorry, New York. Although, I mean, I've been a fan since I was a kid, but, you know, the hometown would kind of beat you out just a little bit. But all right, guys, we're going to head into break. And just to let you guys know, because I know it's back and forth right now between the NBA playoffs and the season opener, the WNBA. The NBA playoffs, I think, is being played TNT. Season opener, WNBA, is ESPN2. Not regular ESPN, it's ESPN2. But make sure you got us on. I don't care if it's on your TV. Make sure you're watching this as well. Don't do that to us now. But we're going to head into break now. When we come back, Jay is going to take over, and we're going to talk more sports and have some more fun. You guys are watching the Sideline. Oh, and before, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at The Sideline Speaks. We're also on X at Sideline Speaks, anywhere you can listen to your podcast as well. And if you comment live or ask us a question live, we would do our best to get to your comments or questions right here live on air. You guys are watching The Sideline Speaks with myself, Brittany Jones, alongside Jason Collins and Kevin Walker, right here on Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to The Sideline Speaks. Brittany Jones, Kevin Walker, Jason Collins. Britt's fighting those allergies, y'all. Ooh, so she might have to jump out a little bit, sneezing, her nose, coughing, the whole bit. So we'll give Britt a minute here. K-Walk, you see me keep kind of looking off to the side here, man. I'm trying to kind of get a glimpse of Caitlin Clark's debut as we're still doing the show. But, man, the rookie record for three-pointers in the WNBA is 4 threes. Do you think Caitlin Clark breaks that tonight? Do you think she hits more
tonight?
I think on tonight. Opening night. I think
opening night. Oh, okay.
Is 4 three-pointers in a game. Do you think Clark breaks that tonight? Do you think she can get 5 or more tonight?
I think they're going to want to get her to get it though. So she's going to have a shot at it. I think she's going to go after it, Jay. So with that being said, I think they're giving her an opportunity. I'm going to say, I think she gets 5. She gets 5 tonight. Why not? Why not? It's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, and she's definitely going to have the attempts. Like, there's no question that she's probably going to get up 8 or 9 threes tonight. So if she can get a few of them to go down, I could see that another record falling. I mean, we know she pretty much holds every record there is in college basketball. So it'd be interesting to see if she can go ahead and get one tonight as they get rolling. But K-Walk, man, let's jump over to a little bit of NBA talk here as Britt comes back to us. Bronny James, he just went through the combine this week. He's medically cleared. Everything looks good from that front with the heart issue and everything like that. I think he performed pretty well at the combine. I know his vertical was like 40 inches. I think he shot the ball pretty well. I think one of the things that jumped out to me was his height. He only measured at like 6'1.5", where I think before people were saying he's like 6'3", 6'4". So I think that's a little bit of an eye opener. But K-Walk, do you see Bronny getting drafted? If so, where do you kind of see him? First round, second round? What are your thoughts on Bronny as an NBA prospect?
Yeah, Jay, we all have that conspiracy theorist in us. Well, at least I do. I can't speak for you two. But, you know, I think that Bronny's going to get drafted because I think he's going to be, you know, the bait to get, you know, his father, who has a player option, you know, with the Lakers this year, $51 million player option. I know us people are saying he's not going to turn $51 million down, but, you know, $51 million to Bronny right to LeBron right now, it's just ashtray money, meaning he keeps that in his, you know, in his car, in his ashtray. But I think they do have a plan that they devise, and wherever he goes, it's a good possibility that LeBron lands there. It's a good possibility that he doesn't get drafted, and he talks to the ownership and the brass, you know, to bring in Bronny to go to the Lakers. You know, if he doesn't get drafted, then obviously it's up to him to where he, you know, where he goes after that point. I think someone will draft him because I think they want that, you know, LeBron James to have that, you know, to be the first, you know, father, son, you know, to play together. It's going to happen at some point. I just know it is. I just don't know when, you know, where down the line or whatever the case may be. But I don't think he should be drafted, but I think he will be drafted. Where he will be drafted? Who has the number? Well, he's not going to be number one. That's for dang sure. I just can't say where he'll be, but somebody will try to slide him in there just to, you know, as bait to get LeBron in there. So I can't say. I don't have a team right now, as far as offhand, that I can see him going to, but I think he'll definitely be a late second round draft pick for sure.
Yeah. Britt, what are your thoughts on Bronny?
I actually like Bronny. I just think it was unfortunate due to his medical situation. I feel like he couldn't really experience the college game like he may have wanted to, or like he may have liked. Yeah. I do think they limit him a lot. Do I think he'll be this superstar lottery pick? No, but I can see him going in the second round. I can. I think he has a nice jumper. I think he could be a good defender in this league, even at 6'1" without shoes. That's probably what, 6'2", with shoes, 6'2.5", if you want to add a whole inch to it. So I do think he has abilities, and he's really athletic. He could jump out of the sky. So I just think once he gets to that NBA game, and I kind of feel like his game may be more for that NBA game. You know, we see a lot of college players playing, but they don't necessarily have that college game. The NBA is more spaced out, which allows you to do different things that maybe the college game can't do, or it could just be the coach. You know, they always want you to make sure you use the entire clock, passing the ball, getting the best shot as possible. The NBA is more of a put your head down, go to the basket type of game. Use the space that's given to you, or create the space because you're going to end up drawing the foul. So, I do see him getting drafted, playing in the G League, a team's G League, to get that extra development. And then, you know, starting off his career being a quality role player coming off the bench. So that's where I can see him. I don't know if LeBron is going to follow him. I know there's reports that saying yes, but then there are also, I think Clutch Sports ended up coming out saying we want to do what's best for Bronny away from his dad. So. Yeah. He's going to do his own thing. LeBron's going to do his own thing. But, you know, they always say that and then end up
exactly
what we first heard. So it's going to be interesting. So I think there could be a team that can afford maybe to draft him and just to develop him. But I could see him being a decent prospect. It's just going to take him a while to develop into that.
Yeah, and I was of the belief that he probably should have stayed in college for another year, given the fact that he had the medical issue, didn't play a full season, didn't even really play a ton of minutes. So I thought another year of college might be good for him. But Britt, you do bring up a good point that maybe just the way the NBA game is structured, that might be more suitable for his game. So, you know, getting on an NBA roster or like you said, maybe playing in the G League for a year, that could end up being more beneficial than being in another college program for a year. So I can certainly see both sides of the argument. I agree. I would imagine that he would be a second round pick. But then again, you just never know. Like somebody might take a flyer on this guy in the first round and just say, hey, we'll see what happens here. Maybe we can lure LeBron, something like that. So he's going to be the most interesting person in the draft just because there's so many variables.
And the thing is, he still has time. So yeah. I think they're using this to see what teams are thinking about him. Would they draft him in the second round? Because I think he has until, is it May 29th?
I think so.
To say, you know what, I'm not coming. I'm going to stay in the, or to withdraw his name from the NBA draft and go back into the transfer portal. So
yeah.
He still has a couple weeks. So he still has time to figure it out.
Yeah,
and not only that, and to add on to that, is that this is not a sexy draft by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, no one stands out to you. I mean, there are like two names I can't think of. There's two names that the Atlanta Hawks are considering, you know, going with, and then neither one of them like really stand out to you. So now it's all about, you know, what do they do with that number one pick? What do they do with Trae Young as well? So yeah, at that time, this may be in a favor. This may be the right time for Bronny to come out. The more you look at the quality or lack thereof of the prospects in this particular draft.
Yep, you 100%, because the guys that they were talking about, like going one and two, like I really didn't know who they were.
Right, so, exactly.
They're saying it's a weak draft, so this could be the right time.
And it's funny because a lot of the freshmen that were supposed to come out, they stayed in another year. They'll be out next year, and next year's draft is supposed to be looking very nice and very deep, much deeper.
So it's going to be interesting. All right, but speaking of LeBron, the Lakers need a new coach. There's been some rumors swirling. JJ Redick's name is being thrown around, and you guys know he's doing that podcast with LeBron now.
Yep.
Britt, who do you think? Like, who do you think JJ Redick is a serious candidate, number one? And then maybe who else do you think could be the next head coach of the Lakers?
I don't have a dang one clue. I did not do my homework on this one. You know, if it's me, I'm going old school, but I know they're not coming back.
I can't think of the guy's name right now.
You say his name right, the one I was thinking of, Mark Jackson. I love him. I think anybody who's going to be the head coach is going to have to understand if LeBron stays with that team, you're going to have to work with LeBron, basically. You're going to have to somehow have a conversation with him, say, hey, this is what we're going to do. I need you to go with it. Or maybe even had that conversation with the Lakers organization prior to even taking a job, because LeBron has a stranglehold on, seems like, whatever coach they tend to hire. And I think that doesn't help in the process. I feel like they hire coaches that would basically do what LeBron says to do or go with what LeBron says. And I feel like they need somebody that will hold all their players more accountable. I think Mark Jackson would be perfect. JJ Redick, I'm still not sure. Yes, he knows basketball. And I think he knows it very, very, very well. I think you need a little bit more than just knowing the game, though. Like, you need that leadership type of qualities. Does he have that? Can he command respect from the team? And that's, I'm still not sure. It's a possibility. Yeah. But the only thing I hear from him now is him going back and forth with Doc Rivers. Like, okay, y'all both need to just stop it, because it's enough. That was years ago. JJ seems like he still got feelings over Doc not playing him. He's not really feeling salty, but he's trying to figure out why JJ keeps saying my name and talking. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, y'all just need to stop that first. So I'm not sure about JJ. Maybe start him out as an assistant coach, I think, would be perfect. But I would love like a Mark Jackson or one of those old school type of coaches that can bring, not a Doc Rivers, an old school coach that has adapted to the new game, but understands how to coach and develop players, like a Mark Jackson. So, but we'll see what happens. I'm not really sure who else they have in mind.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Britt. And K-Walk, what are your thoughts on Redick possibly? And also, K-Walk, like, if you were a coach, would you want the Lakers job? To me, I don't know if that's a job I would want if I was a coach, just because of the LeBron factor. But what say you about that?
Yeah, you hit it on the head right there for me, Jay, is that, yeah, I mean, I think J.J. Redick is the perfect spot for the Lakers position for LeBron. Because LeBron is the guy who calls all the shots there, man. We all know that. We don't see it. We may not see it behind the scenes. We may not see it here. But we all know that LeBron is going to be on his 10th coach in his career. That's telling you something right there. JJ Redick is the guy that he wants to bring in, because JJ Redick is going to be the guy that is going to do everything that LeBron James wants him to do, or, you know, is going to ask of him to do, or feed him the information and say, listen, you're my guy. We do this podcast together. Listen, you know, we do this thing together. You know, I mean, we call the plays as, you know, we'll be, you know, co-coaches. We won't say this to anybody, you know, something like that is going down. And then JJ Redick is like, sure, I'll do it. And then he can gain some coaching experience off it if he's serious about being a coach. But right. Any real coach that wants to coach and then that can make a can be a true factor, don't go there if LeBron is there. Do not take that job if LeBron is there. I'm just forewarning you because we all know how it goes down. You know, Frank Vogel, Darwin Ham. I mean, the list just goes on and on. He even tried to get Eric Spoelstra out of Miami, and we know how great of a coach Eric Spoelstra is. So the list just goes on and on. It's LeBron's Pat way.
Or not letting that happen.
Oh, no, exactly. That's why LeBron is where he's at. And that's exactly why LeBron is where he's at. So we're not having that. So, JJ Redick is that guy. I think I saw a report somewhere that Coach K's name is being thrown around, and I can't see Coach K doing that to himself, to his legacy.
Yeah, I think they were saying he's like being an advisor in terms of like who the next even hire that. Might be. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Because they're not going to listen to if LeBron's not going to listen to him, man. And LeBron's only going to listen to the guy that LeBron sees in the mirror, and that's the only person he's going to listen to. So as far as the JJ Redick thing, Redick goes, LeBron will probably be there with one, maybe two more years. You know, Redick could be that guy. You know, until LeBron is gone, and LeBron is gone, and then you bring a real coach in there if you're serious about winning.
Yeah, no, K-Walk, I agree. Go ahead, Britt.
No, I was going to say, Man Down Spurs agrees with you. He says JJ Redick is trash. I dropped the mic moment on that one. I don't know what else to say. There you go.
My thing too with LeBron, and I don't want this to seem like I'm taking a shot at him, but sometimes I just feel like, especially lately, like he just escapes all levels of accountability. Like when he's playing great, it's like, oh, he's 39 years old. He's still one of the best players in the league. And then when they lose 4-1, it's like, oh, well, he's 39. I mean, he can't do it anymore. Like, I just like, well, what is the truth? Because you can't have it both ways. Right. And then it's like, oh, the roster's not good enough. It just feels like there's always an excuse with LeBron.
So with that being said, Jason, why doesn't JJ say the same thing about LeBron as he's saying about Doc Rivers? He's using the same terms, and they're the same. They're in the same situation where they're both there, and then you're constantly moving around. You're constantly getting these coaches, but you're the common denominator here, man. And you're not winning.
Yeah,
I can answer that question for you, K-Walk. Mm-hmm. JJ is still butthurt for not getting the playing time. That happened years ago. What was that one? Blake Griffin officially retired. That was when Blake Griffin was on the scene. Years ago.
Yeah.
Like, JJ, get over it.
Let it go. I agree with you. Like, I think obviously JJ probably understands the game. He's probably even a good communicator in terms of the game and all that kind of stuff. But something about him, I just don't see as a head coach. And I don't know. I could be missing something, but I don't know. He just doesn't strike me as a head coach. And coaching is obviously more than just knowing the game, especially the NBA, where you got to play 82 regular season games and just the grind, the travel, the constant watching film, all that stuff. Like, guys really need to know what they're getting themselves into before you take a job like that. So it'll be
Jay. All he has to do is listen to LeBron. That's the qualification for the job. Just listen to LeBron.
Yeah. You're right.
My concern is, like, I'm looking across JJ Redick and I'm watching him. I don't know if I have a lot of respect for you. Cause in my mind, I'm like, what have you done for me to want to listen to anything that you have to say? Yes, you played the game, I get it, but it's that, to me, that's that respect level. I don't know if these players look at JJ in that capacity. It may be fine, but can he create that structure? Can he, like, you're basically giving advice to these players. They have to be willing to listen to you, not only on the court but off the court. I just don't know if it's that respect for them. So it's something I would have to learn, but that's why I think he should. First of all, I think the NBA teams should just stop hiring players directly off the court as a head coach. Allow them to go through the process just like every other head coach did as well. They had to go through that process. They had to go through the ranks. now I could probably look at you differently. But right now I just see a 3.5, what is it? 3 old men in a 3, whatever his podcast was called. That's all I see.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And that's what it's about. It's about what he does on his podcast, on LeBron's podcast, on his podcast and LeBron's podcast, and what he does on ESPN too. Mm-hmm. ESPN, they live and die about that guy's knowledge, man. They're just so infatuated, and they say it every show, whether he's on Get Up or whether he's on First Take. You know, they love. They're just trying to promote his knowledge in order for him to get the, you know, if not the Lakers head coaching job, but any head coaching job for that matter.
Yeah,
and I think half the stuff that he says is not even right. He's always knocking the old school players, which makes no sense.
Which I don't understand.
Me.
I don't understand that.
That I don't understand it. Yeah. You know, he knocks everybody from Bill Russell to like anybody who's played before him. It's like he shows no respect to and what they did and what they accomplished.
You know why, Brett? Because that's what the new school players are all about. They're all about that. They respect the old school. So if he comes in with that mentality, that philosophy, so, oh, he's the guy that I want to play for. You know, he understands today's games, today's players. So, you know, I understand. You know, I get what he's trying to do. I'm picking up what he's putting down. I get it.
Yeah.
But for me, JJ, no. But before we go on, Jay. This was a Man Down Sports comment about Caitlin Clark, I guess, for the first 5 minutes. It could have changed since then because we're a little bit after that. But he said Caitlin Clark was 0-3, 1 turnover, 2 fouls, and 1 assist in the first 5 minutes of the game. I don't know if it's changed recently. Yeah, I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah, she's been on the bench for quite some time. I think once she got those 2 fouls, they took her out, and she has not been back in the game yet. So we'll have to wait and see if she can maybe catch fire if she enters back in the game in the second quarter. But yeah, like we said earlier, there's going to be some bumps and bruises. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
WNBA is a grown woman's sport. It's a different game. So it's to be expected.
Before we move off of the basketball talk, I want to get y'all's top 5 guys who are playing in the NBA playoffs right now, who are still active right now. If you had to put together a top 5 list, I want to see who you have there. I got my list done. I want to see what similarities we have, what differences we have. Okay, Walk, I'm going to start with you. Who's your top 5 guys playing in the NBA playoffs right now?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'll go 5-1. I'll go 5-1. I like to do that. Number 5, I think I'm going to go with Luka Doncic. Man, I know he's hurt right now, but what he's done and his grind and what he's done, you know, to get that series, they were up 2-1 before last night, of course. But I think that he's done a heck of a job of rebounding and on that knee, scoring and facilitating as well. So I'm going to go Luka 5. 4, I'm going to go with I switched it up here a little bit. I'm going to go with SGA here, man. I think that him leading this team to where they are, their number one seed. Right now, I know they're the youngest number one seed of all time in NBA history. But right now, it's starting to show just a little bit. But last night, they came back and won that game. They were down big. They were down 10, and they found a way to win late in that game. So hats off to SGA for bringing them back and tying that series. So SGA is number 4 for me. Number 3, I know he may be higher on somebody else, especially if you're in New York. I'm going with Jalen Brunson. We've seen what he did, and I'm sorry, Bray. We've seen what he did in that Sixers series, and we've seen what he's done up until the third game of this current series with the Pacers, leading them. But I think that wear and tear is starting to catch up to him. It's starting to be just that wear and tear. No Robinson, no OG as well. So that's starting to wear on him a little bit. And I think that the minutes that Josh Hart has been playing is starting to catch up to him as well. So which ultimately is catching up to Jalen Brunson and that foot injury. So I have him at number 3. Number 2, as much as I wanted to put this guy at number 1, I'm going to put him at number 2, and that's Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards from Minnesota, man. I just think we talked about the comparisons to MJ. I know we got to hold off a little bit of that right now, but I don't think they were talking about him as far as MJ's career, just at him and MJ at the same at the age of 22. And that's a great comparison. I mean, his mannerisms. I mean, it's pretty much what Kobe did. I mean, why not? You know, why not mock? Why not carry yourself and implement or you know imitate the greatest of all time, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So I went with Ant-Man number two. I think they'll ultimately win this series, in my opinion. I think they get it done. Number one, I think you got to go with Jokic, man. Jokic is just—he's just phenomenal, man. I mean, as orthodox as he looks, and is just ugly. His game is just so ugly, but it's so effective. So I love everything, what he does—the facilitating, the rebounding, and the scoring. I mean, his jumper is just about as soft as any pillow that I've ever laid my head on. to be perfectly honest with you, so I'm going to go with Jokic. So Jokic is number one for me. Ant-Man's number two. Jalen Brunson number three. I got SGA number four, and Luka at number five.
That's a good list, K-Walk. You made me rethink my list. I had to cross a guy out and add a guy because I forgot about somebody. You might be able to guess who it is based on my past history with this guy. But I had to make a little change. Britt, who you got? Who's your top five playing right now?
I didn't really do my homework, but I just thought about, some five players that I really like so far.
Britt detention.
Number five, I went with Luka as well. I know a lot of people are like, how come you go with Kyrie? But I think Luka's been, he struggles, has ups and down. I think Luka's been a little bit more consistent as far as when they need him the most to make a play. Although Kyrie, when he's on, he is on, and he is hard to take off. He was very effective. I think in the first series, it was all Kyrie. Four. Y'all gonna think I'm crazy for this, but I want to Jokic at four. I think Jokic is playing incredible, like always. He's doing what he's supposed to do. But the next three are just there to me is just, I think, more shockers than anything for the next three. Not really shockers. Well, for a lot of people, yes. So I had to put them above them. Three, Jalen Brunson. Like K-Walk alluded to, look what this guy is doing. A lot of people doubted him, and he's saying no. He's basically carrying his Knicks team and trying to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. I just don't know if all the injuries is going to start to affect them. Two, I had to go with Murray because I think the Nuggets don't get this far. I'm crazy. I think as great as Jokic is, and we know what he does, I still don't think they get this far without the impact of Murray. And I've been saying that for a long, long time. I think Murray's scoring, Murray's play is that important. Yes, Jokic is the do-it-all big man, but without Murray, they don't get as far as they do. And one, I got to go with Ant-Man. I think Ant-Man is just doing his thing. He is the new face of the NBA, to me, the young superstar. And I know for sure the Wolves don't get this far without him. So, that game three, I didn't like it. He can't have another one of those game threes. But although they lost game four, he did redeem himself a lot. So that's my five. You could like it and not like it. I don't care.
Murray was a shocker, but it's a good call. But no SGA, Britt. He didn't make your five.
Honestly. I forgot about the Thunder. And SGA, I know Jokic won an MVP. SGA was my MVP. He was my MVP.
Yeah. Shaq's too.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that.
Who would you kick off your list, Britt, if you were going to put SGA on? Who would you kick off? Luka?
Luka would be the only one to go in place of SGA. Everybody else, just what they're doing right now to me is just, whoa.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you sure about that? But you answered that too quick, so you're very sure. So I'm not going to question.
I'm not going to question. Sure about what?
It's
not, kicking Luka
it's
off?
Yeah, I was going to think like,
it's, I'm not going to lie. It's something about Luka's game that just throws me off. And I'm just like, I don't know. So I think if Kyrie had to step up, I think he could step up and take the place of Luka. There's no one to step up in SGA's place, in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought you might have said Murray if Jay said you had to take one off. That's why I thought. That's why I said that.
I think Murray is that important to the Nuggets. I really do. Yeah. A lot of people don't see it like I do, but I really do see that.
And I'm kind of with you, Britt. Like, I know Luka can play, obviously. Like, no one's going to sit here and say he can't. But it's just something about his game that I don't like. Like, it's almost like this, the James Harden effect for me. I know when he was at his peak, he was a great basketball player, but I just didn't like the way he played. And I kind of feel the same way about Luka, but Luka did make my list, but I put him at number five. So I got Luka at number five. I put Brunson at number four. I had to add him, K-Wall, because he wasn't even on my list. I put Brunson at number four. I put Shea at number three. He's been great. Like, I haven't watched these young guys enough throughout the season, so I'm just kind of getting a real good look at them in the playoffs. He's been phenomenal. I put Joker at two. I mean, Joker is a do-everything guy. He's been great, but Ant-Man has just been ridiculous. So
not mad at that. Ant-Man not mad at that.
Number one, Joker's my two, SGA three, Brunson four, and Luka is my five. Some good players not on those lists, like no Tatum on any of our lists.
He's too inconsistent.
I think for me, Tatum, like those guys, they have to get the job done. If they don't get the job done, their team are not winning. The guys that we said.
Yeah, that's true. If
they don't get the job done, he got too many players to lean on. You got Jaylen Brown will step up. You got, he's out, but KP will step up. You know, they got a lot of other guys they could depend on, like, significantly. Yeah. You always want your role players and your bench players to do what they're – to elevate their game. But they're able to elevate their game a little bit too much to mask all the inconsistencies that Tatum may have. These guys, if they don't do well, their team's not winning at all.
Yeah, Brett, and that's a great point there, Brett, because I was going to say, it seems like Boston just plays with their food a little bit too much for me. Mm-hmm. I feel like, are they really as good as they as advertised, and we're just saying they're playing with their food, or are they just really not as good as we think they are, and then everyone's, you know, kind of just, you know, keep them in the game and things of that nature, playing above, kind of above what they're about, you know, kind of overachieving. You know, I'm talking about the Cavaliers, even that Heat series, that, you know, that Heat won in the fashion that they did in that second game. In the second game, there's no way in the world that the Heat should have stolen the game in that series. So you have to ask yourself, is this team really as good as we think they are? Or are they just, you know, a team just is, you know, going through the most, playing with their food, and they'll turn it on when they need to? That's just a question I have for the Celtics. I don't really have my finger on the Celtics right now.
Yeah, K-Walk, I've seen some of the same stuff. Like, I think they are a really good team, but I do think they come into some of these games almost just like, we're going to show up and win. And it's just not going to happen like that. But I think between Boston and Denver, like, if I'm just talking about teams that are left, I think those two teams probably play like the best team basketball. They're in sync the most. And then I feel like some of the teams that, like, Dallas comes to mind, because even though Kyrie and Luka, I think they get along. I think they like playing with each other. I don't think they play that great together. Like, it still feels like, all right, you take it, and I'm going to go stand over here. And then, all right, here, your turn. I'm going to go stand over here. Like, they just don't play well together. So I don't know, man. I think Boston and Denver could end up meeting in the finals, because to me, those are the teams that seem like they have the most synergy. They play the best together. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Guys, real quick, sorry, not to turn it off, change the focus here, but I'm watching this game while we're talking.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing Caitlin Clark definitely has to work on. And that's what the teams, and I had a feeling preseason's different. They're making her go to her right, and she just turned it off trying to pass it. So she's definitely got to work on her right.
Yeah, and they've been defending her pretty hard, picking her up like right over half court and really giving her a tough time. I don't think she's scored yet in this game. Yeah, Britt, that's one of the things I thought she needed to work on coming out. And then also, I really feel like she's got to find like a little mid-range game. Like, well, she's driving hard, she's got to be able to stop and shoot that little mid-range, like 10 or 12 footer. So she's got to work that into her game as well. So far, a tough start for Caitlin Clark tonight, and she looks like she's getting a little bit frustrated. But
yeah, I think she still got those. She still got that.
With her, it only takes a couple shots to go down before she can turn that whole thing around.
You know what? Right. You know our late great Coach Carmichael used to say, Jay, it's like if you're on, shoot. If you're off, shoot till you're on.
So. Yeah. All right, y'all. I only got one NFL topic here, and then we're probably going to get out of here a little early tonight, wrap this thing up so we can go watch some of these games. But Caleb Williams, K-Walk, was named a starter. They said it's not a competition. He's our guy. He's the starter. How did you feel about that? Do you think that was the obvious move, or should there have been a competition in Chicago?
No, they should announce that as soon as before they even drafted him. They should announce that. I mean, what are they going to do? They traded him with Justin.
There was nobody else, Fields. Right?
There was nobody else. So yeah, I mean, I think that was a no brainer. You go there. He's confident in himself. He's surrounded by a tremendous amount of talent. So yeah, you go and you get his guy. You trade away Justin Fields. So you got to name him number one. It's just a no brainer. No hesitation. It's like, you know, why are we drafting this guy and making all the moves that we made if he's not going to be our QB1? So yeah, I think it was, you know, the right call at the right time. Leave no doubt in Caleb Williams' mind that it's your job. So you don't have to look over your shoulder, but at the same time, you know, you have to perform. So you have he has the toys to play with as much as he wants to play with for sure. So yeah, definitely the right call at the right time.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the reports coming out, Britt, is that like he's doing all the right things. Like he's asking all the right questions. He's working really hard. Like everything that I've heard about him, like Chicago has been super impressed with everything that he's done so far. I know I had my doubts about him before the draft. Britt, this is kind of a weird question, but just see if you can put a little answer to it. If you had to say, like Caleb Williams, if you had to pick, is he going to have a rookie year more like CJ Stroud or more like Bryce Young? If you had to choose between those two,
is there an in between to that?
Nope. If you just had to say, in between, this guy's going to be more like CJ in his rookie year or more like Bryce, which way would you lean towards?
Oh, I don't know.
Because we know CJ was lights out, and Bryce obviously had his struggles. Not all his fault, but obviously struggled quite a bit. What do you see? Do you see success for Caleb, or do you see him struggling in his rookie year?
I mean, I don't – but when you can't compare it to CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, because I don't think he'll be neither one of them. I think he'll be in the in-between, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But if I had to choose – since the last part, I say more success than anything.
Okay.
I do think, like K-Walk alluded to, I do think they have a lot of good talent surrounding him, way more than they provided Justin Fields. They went out and they got that young receiver, Rome Odunze. And then they went out and got, I think, Keenan Allen and who's the running back? The guy that was on our team. Jesus. Not coming to me right now.
Swift.
DeAndre Swift. and I know they improved that the offensive line just a little bit.
And they still have DJ Moore too. So yeah, great point.
They still have DJ Moore. So I think right off the gate, they're starting him with a lot more talent. So that already gives him better success. I think the biggest thing for me is going to be the coaching and the system. I think that's going to be biggest thing. That was the biggest failure for Justin Fields. They didn't care at all with him, which is unfortunate. And rightly so, you know, they were confident about this draft guy. I would be shocked to hear anything other than Caleb Williams is doing something different than what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
If they would have said that, then that's to me is on more on Chicago than anything else. So they're not going to allow that. No bad publicity come out right now about this
guy. That's
true. Yeah. So I think right now I'm going to say success. I'm not going to say CJ Stroud because that to me is a bar. That's a bar you got to hit, and that's going to be a pretty tough bar.
Yeah.
And I think he's a talented guy. I'm not the biggest Caleb Williams fan, but I know a lot of people are. I actually like Jaden Daniels. Is it Daniels? Daniels. Yep. A little bit more coming out the draft. But I do like the talent surrounding him, and I think he's in a much better position to do decent this season.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think you're right. Chicago has done everything they can to kind of surround him with the right pieces in order for him to be successful. K-Walk, I know you had your doubts about him before the draft, just like I did. Do you feel better about it now, or you still kind of have those question marks?
No, you know what, Jay? I have to see him in action, man. I mean, he's surrounded by great talent. So, yeah, I'm not saying that's not going to change how I felt, felt about him coming into the draft. Yeah. Because I still, it was predicated on, you know, what he was about, you know, what he looked like, you know, for me, the eye test for me, it wasn't there. I know he's surrounded by great talent and things of that nature, but he's in a division where anyone can win that. I mean, we're talking about probably arguably the toughest division in the NFL with the Minnesota Vikings. I know they got Sam Darnold there, but they did draft JJ McCarthy there. They got the talent there. We know about Jordan Love and, you know, what they did to Dallas last week and last season in the playoffs and the dogfight that they had with the 49ers. And then, of course, you talk about the Detroit Lions who, half away from, you know, going to the Super Bowl. So this is a division that, you know, it's going to be, again, arguably the best division. So I want to see what he does within a division. Yeah. And I mean, to answer the question, I think I'm going to teeter more side towards I think he'll be in the middle, kind of like what Britt, mentioned. But I'm just going to teeter a little bit more side towards CJ Stroud because of the talent that's surrounded around him.
Right.
And I think he has a defensive, a decent offensive line. And, you know, Bryce Young didn't really have that. So I'm going to just say he'll be more, for the sake of the question, more towards CJ Stroud than Bryce Young.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. All right, y'all, let's do our rant and who's balling and wrap this thing up. Every week you get a minute. If you got something that you just want to get off your chest, it could be positive, could be negative. It's any way you want to go with it. K-Walk, we usually start with you because we know you got one ready, fired up to go. You got something for us this week?
Listen, I do, but it's kind of what we touched on already, man, and that's just the WNBA, and I just got to give them their props, man, for everything that they're doing. Right now, you guys are looking to your left, your right, or whatever. I'm picking here. I have it on my little tablet here. I have the game on my tablet right here. So if we're talking now, that's the Fever and the Sun game right now. So, yeah, I'm just shout out to the WNBA. They have us, you know, locked in. They're doing everything the right way up until this point. And I just hope they continue to do that because as one of our viewers, Man Down, I think his name is, alluded to, he's excited about the WNBA. We're excited about it. So, you know, long as this continues to go, it's a great, great product, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not into the WNBA, please check it out. Please check it out because it's going to be – it's the summertime, so you don't really have anything to – you know, the NBA playoffs are almost over. Finals are next year, next month or whatever the case may be. So you have nothing to compare it to or nothing to distract you. So just shout out to the WNBA, everything that he's been doing, and just one thing to WNBA, get every team their charter planes right now. Not now, but right now. PDQ.
All right, good stuff. K-Walk. Yeah, man, I'm gonna keep it in basketball. Mine's against the NBA, and it's nothing new. I mean, we've probably had this rant before on here, but can we just get some consistency with the way the games are called? I mean, they're just like, K-Walk, to steal one of your lines, consistently inconsistent. I mean, that's what we get out of the officiating, and just from game to game, from series to series, they just call the games differently, and it just makes it difficult as a fan to watch, difficult for the players that are in the game.
Right.
Can we just have a little bit of consistency, officials?
Preach, brother,
and maybe
preach.
Stop being so sensitive as well. So that's all I want to say about that, man. Just some consistency with the officiating. Britt, what you got, of course?
Jay, I agree with that. And stop with this whole favoritism thing. Like, just call the game consistency. Because it's like, you see players do the same thing and not get a call. Like Jalen Brunson, I was shocked when the Knicks actually complained that he wasn't getting calls. I'm like, he's been getting calls both series. I'm confused. What are y'all looking at? So I'm like, if the other team gets calls, my goodness, thank goodness. But no, anyway, as far as my rant, I kind of said it. It was the Knicks fans earlier because they just been outrageous. Because trust me, I'm counting. Y'all better not lose, because it took y'all like 30 years just to get to this point. So you better not lose. I'm telling you now, Jalen Brunson, you better carry this team into that championship finals, and you better win the finals. If you don't, I'm coming for all y'all. I'm telling you this right now. I'm coming for all you guys. But that's not really my rant anyway. just another minute for my real rant. It's not really a rant. It's just I'm tired. Look, everybody got opinions. Let's just all have our opinions. Okay, yes. Shaq went to Jokic, said, Jokic, congratulations. But you weren't my MVP. So what? It's not a big deal. He congratulated the man. He said it was well-deserved. I think a lot of us had SG as our MVP. I'm not going to say most of us. A lot of us did. You know, Jokic didn't take any type of way. So, Uncle Shay Shay, I think you should have just fell back on this one. You just had to chime yourself in the situation and then try to come at the man. And y'all just went back and forth for accolades.
Yeah.
Look, y'all both are very successful men. This is looking kind of crazy. But I will say this. Shaq got the bag. That's all I'm going to say. Shaq,
yeah,
the so super got the bag. Bag. Yep. He's got a super bag. So, but no, I got a lot of respect for Uncle Shay Shay as well. But just chill out. Let Shaq have his opinions, and Uncle Shay Shay, you leave Shaq alone. Just leave him alone. It's not that deep.
Good stuff, Britt. I'm with you for there. Sure, Britt. All right, let's do Who's Ball, and then let's wrap this thing up. Every week, we want to shout out a team player or coach, somebody that's just absolutely getting it done. I think I'm going to go first because we all might have the same person tonight.
Dang.
Going with the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. He's just been absolutely phenomenal. Usually when people throw out the Jordan comparisons, I'm like, whatever. But with this guy, I'm actually open to it. I'm open to it, man, because the athleticism is there. The attitude is there. The charisma is there. Like, he's got the full package, man. So Ant-Man has been absolutely balling. K-Wall, who you got for us?
All right, well, you know you stole mine. So I'm going to come off the top of my head here, ladies and gentlemen. I didn't have one written down, but I'm going to come with my the Indiana Pacers. I'm going to come with the Indiana Pacers as a whole, as a team, as a whole. And again, as I stated off earlier in the show, I thought they could have easily won the first two games in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
You know, some calls didn't go their way. You guys mentioned the referees and things of that nature. You remember the game and the Denver game and the Timberwolves game when Ant-Man made a play and he was yelling at the stands, yeah, and they gave him a technical. And then Murray came down and got it and hit a three and got fouled. And he was like three and like in the guy's face. Mm-hmm. Didn't get a foul. No, I didn't get a technical. I said a foul, but a technical. So, but with that being said, I'm going to go with the Pacers, man. They're overcoming a lot right now, man. And I think they're going to do it as a whole. They don't have a superstar. And this is what I really like about this team, because they don't really have a true superstar. They're doing as a team. And as I mentioned earlier, the ball doesn't stick on the offense. And they play great defense on the other end of the court. So I'm going to say the Indiana Pacers right now, they're looking good. I think they're up six right now. I went to commercial. So if they pull this one out, ladies and gentlemen, they'll close it out in Indiana. So I'm going to go with the Indiana Pacers are absolutely balling.
Yeah.
Knicks fans, but I hope that doesn't happen.
Good stuff, K-Walk. And you're right, man. Like, team basketball is in right now in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, that star-driven, get a bucket, three superstars on it, that stuff don't work. No. You got to have a team now or you ain't winning. But, Britt, who you got? Who's balling?
First, before I say it, Man Down Sports says he thinks Ant-Man is closer to Dominique than he is to MJ.
Mm. Mm. I think the athleticism, you can definitely see that. But I don't know. I feel like Ant-Man's game is better than Dominique's. I think he's more versatile to me than Dominique. I mean, although Dominique was really, really good too. But
he could jump out the gym, though. But yeah, Dominique, he could
jump out the gym. I don't know.
I'm just thinking about it. I like it in comparison to MJ. I'm not saying he's MJ. I just like the comparison more because I don't. Dominique wasn't really that guy who can shoot that rock. You know, to be honest with you, he was more of a get to the basket type guy. He can jump over you, dunk over you. So I
jumped off of 2 feet all the time. Yeah, didn't really jump off of 1 foot hardly at all. So yeah.
I'm going to disagree there a little bit, there, man.
Yeah,
I'm
me too,
sorry, man. I'm going to disagree there a little bit.
It might be another conversation that we gotta have for another day. But my who's balling? I was gonna go football on this one, but I'm gonna keep it to basketball because I'm watching this Kinetic Suns Indiana Fever. I gotta go to the whole Kinetic Suns team right now. They are balling, shooting threes, playing defense. Every time Caitlin Clark goes to her left, they double her, make her go right. The one girl just stole the ball from Caitlin Clark.
Hey.
They are killing it right
Anybody
now.
Anybody else playing for that Fever?
Yeah, but it's just right now they just jumping on Caitlin Clark so fast.
They're making it tough on her.
No, I see. They're making it
tough. And it's because they have her as the primary baller, ball handler right now. So that's why. But I'm just like, but then they come down drilling threes. They coming down, taking it right to the basket. So I got to go with who's balling. Connecticut Suns are balling right now at this moment.
I will go with the commercial, the WNBA. I'm gonna go with the WNBA Skims commercial. That's my new ballers.
Who's balling? Yeah, that was a good one. But Britt, you're right. They're playing like they're trying to prove a point. Like they know the whole world is watching tonight, and they're like, no, it's not happening on our watch, not tonight.
I know it's not a lot of games in the WNBA, but take it easy on the girl. My goodness.
Yeah, they're going hard tonight.
It'll relax later on, K-Walk. It's going to relax. Like, Kayla Clark, she's going to get her due justice later. I don't care. But I'm just like,
I'm a Liberty fan.
All right, y'all. Good stuff. If you're watching, listening, guys, hit that subscribe button. I know we've been away for a few weeks, but we're back. We're better than ever. So hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. Share this for us as we keep trying to grow this platform. Before we get out of here, K-Walk, let the people know where they can find you and anything that's going on that you want to share.
Yeah, just you can find me on Facebook, Kevin Walker, on Instagram, Kevin.Walker142. And Thread, of course, and tweet, Twix, whatever you want to call it, at Kevin Walker 142. for sure. And tomorrow night you can catch me on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio, wherever you get your podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Catch me there. Sports Talk with K Walk and E Scott on Never Had It So Good Sports Radio. We bring everything to you. And you know, we like to infotain. So Britt and Jay, you know, it's always an open invite. You know the number there. So just listening, I'll have the links up on those platforms I just mentioned. You can click on the link to listen to the show, or you can call in to join the talk for sure. And what I'm looking forward to is just more sports, you know, baseball, basketball, all that. And I want to give a shout out to my son Jordan, his 31st birthday. Yes, at 31st birthday, ladies and gentlemen, on Sunday. So we're looking forward to seeing him. Hopefully I can see him on his birthday. I don't know. He said he's going to be in the club. He ain't want me to go with him.
Okay, well, wait, you said cut that 21st? Rug up a little bit.
31, Brett. I had him when
you
I was 20.
You got a 31-year-old?
I had him when I was 20, Brett. I had him right out of high school. So that's a story for another day, Brett.
No, that's not. I'm just shocked because you don't look that old. You don't look.
That's what I'm saying. I look 31, right? I look 31 myself, right? Say it, Brett. Say it, please.
Wait.
Say it.
Not saying that people who got 31-year-olds look old, but you don't look like you got a 31-year-old.
Some of them do, Brett. I'll say it.
Yeah. So shout out to my son, like, Jordan. Happy birthday to you, brother.
You're younger than me. Happy birthday.
That's good stuff. Yeah, you guys can find me at Jason Talk Sports on all social media platforms. Yeah, with no football, it usually feels kind of boring. But, man, we got a lot of good stuff going on right now with the NBA playoffs, the WNBA. K-Walk, I don't know if you've been watching the UFL at all, the spring football. I've been a little in and out on that, but just a lot of good stuff going on. So I'm excited. Britt, what you got for us?
You guys can catch me, of course, on Instagram, Twitter. That's what I'm going to say. I don't use TikTok, but catch me on Instagram and Twitter at Brittany Monique. I don't even know if TikTok's still going to be here in a couple, in a few weeks or so. But anyway, that's not the point right now. But I'm looking forward to the rest of this WNBA game to see what happens in the second half, to see if the Fever could turn around.
Yeah.
I feel like they could probably come up with some a game plan. But the rest of the NFL offseason, NBA playoffs, baseball is here. Baseball's been back, which, you know, I get excited for as well. Although, the Phillies have, they have the best record, but it's still only so many games.
Oh, damn. Sorry to hear that.
Really?
Yeah, I got a Phillies hat and everything. I'm ready to go.
We'll see y'all in the
Wear that hat in California. No, I'm just kidding. Wear that hat. I'm just kidding. But no, that's what I'm mostly looking forward to.
All right. Good stuff. All right, y'all. It was a lot of fun. A nice way to ease back into it. We'll be back next week, 7 p.m. live. So check us out again. Like, share, subscribe. And we'll see you guys next week. So for Brittany Jones and Kevin Walker, I'm Jason Collins. We'll see you next time.
You're inside Never Had It So Good Sports Radio with Princess Cooper, Tim Moore, David the Duck Riley, Jason Collins, Shoshana Cook, Brittany Jones, Travis McGee, Eric Scott, and Kevin Walker. We make it easy to talk sports.